News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:06 in the morning here on the 2nd of July. Our phone lines are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. So, good morning there, Bad Bob.
Good morning.
So, the ride in today was running as fast as you can, and it is still hot.
Yes.
Well, it's not hot. But
it's going to be. You know, I don't build the bomb. I only drop it. To paraphrase a famous movie line, sunny and hot, high near 110 degrees. Oh, it's cooler than yesterday. 5 degrees cooler.
Was it 115 yesterday?
In some spots, yes.
Because, you know why? Because I was in here working last night till like 6 o'clock. I got out once. For a period of time to meet Linda, but I was in here till 6 o'clock. But when I was out, it was hot.
It was still miserable.
It was hot.
Yeah. Friday will be 107. Independence Day 106. A cooling trend. Not much of one, but a cooling trend. 103 on Sunday. Overnight lows will be in the upper 70s. And that's about where we're at right now. 78 degrees in Reading. And the report. Brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, locally owned and operated, veteran-owned store, with senior and veterans discounts, 365-3793. And tonight, head out to Wind River. Linda's singing with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds, and you know, on her regular gig out there. It's a great time. It's great food. It's called Romance on the River. You can't beat it. Everybody that goes there has a wonderful time. She's got a special guest tonight. Joe Larson, who's absolutely the best trombonist that you're ever going to hear. There's going to be a little Dixieland going on, probably some patriotic songs. A lot of stuff happening this morning, or this evening, out at Wind River Casino and Elements Lounge. And you get to give them a call, of course, and get some and get reservations out there. But they have a special menu, including steak and lobster for under $22. And it is absolutely great. Lobster and steak out there at Filet's. A lot of things happening today. There's a number of things happening around town here. So, and one of the things we have guests coming in that are, Bob is writing something. And Bob's writing something on there. We have guests today that are going to be coming on at 7:30 that have done they're movie makers, and they've released another movie, and it's all made in Shasta County. We're going to talk about the movie-making industry. Then 8 o'clock, we're going to be talking from a guard, a retired prison guard, a supervisory-type guard. And we're going to talk about contraband getting into prisons and how it is. But we're starting our show off today with Assemblyman Brian Daly. Assemblyman Brian Daly, good morning there, Brian.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Hey, thank you so much for calling in this morning.
It's been too long.
It has been. And by the way, everybody, we're setting up a regular time for Brian to be on the show like we have with the Congressman LaMalfa and other people so that the Assemblyman Daly can tell us what's going on, give us an idea what's happening. I just saw that somebody from Sacramento by the name of Senator or ex-Senator Yee pled guilty to racketeering.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had him. You know, it was a thing of beauty. The man that led the fight against people owning guns, selling shoulder-fired weapons to terrorists. I loved it. Hey, Brian, what's going on? We've seen them pass a number of bills. You know, the water thing is, of course, the big, gorilla on the table. So what's going on with water
well,
in Sacramento?
We had a town hall meeting yesterday in Redding, Chet Gaines and I, and then we had the meeting back-to-back after that. But you're right, Carl. Water is – we're in a drought. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the governor signed the state of emergency water declaration, and that's really caused a lot of confusion to water right holders and to municipalities who are required to cut back 36%. It's been difficult because some have had been doing a good job of conserving water, and so there's really not a lot more places to be able to cut, and it makes it very difficult. We met with the county supervisors yesterday. We met with water agencies, folks. We met with farmers. And, you know, they're having to deal with it, and it's really difficult. So we're trying to be a stopgap in between them and the State Water Resource Control Board to be able to try to help. It has been difficult, though, because they did a one-size-fits-all piece of legislation, and we have to cut back on water. There's no doubt about it. But in some of our areas, it just doesn't make sense. For example, I know that the Anderson area has ample amount of water there. And they did a bunch of conservation there already, and so they're really struggling. So we're working through those issues, but that's the problem. There's more resources coming into the state, and the other side of the aisle wants to spend that money on new programs, and I don't believe in that. I think we should use that money to pay down our debt, and we should take care of the obligations that were cut back that we need desperately before, like public safety.
Right, and that leads to a number of other questions. You know, I'm gonna take a quick break right now. However, and so we'll have about 20 minutes to talk in 2 weeks. So for the rest of the segment here, but our guest is Assemblyman Brian Daly. We're gonna take a quick break here. This portion of the show, however, is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, where they've been in the business for 70 years, and they're in the top 100 hospitals in the whole nation is Shasta Regional Medical Center, and their cardiac unit is in the top 50 hospitals in the whole nation. Shasta Regional Medical Center, treating people well. We'll be right back with Assemblyman Brian Daly.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. With everybody heading to the lakes to stay cool, stop by and pick up some methanol-free 93 or high-octane race car fuel. If you plan on traveling this 4th of July weekend or staying at home, we want you to consider coming to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue at the Shasta District Fairgrounds along with Anderson Explodes on July 3rd. $10 donation, all you can eat. This is all done by the donations from the Junior Livestock Sale. So gather up the kids and come on down approximately 3:30. Have dinner and then watch the fireworks. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and kids. Corning, Redding, and Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with three locations to serve you. Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Reevaluate your current outdoor watering schedule. Make sure to water later in the evening or early in the morning, because when it's hot or windy, more than a third of the water can be lost to evaporation. Watering your landscape during the coolest part of the day allows water to soak into the soil and minimizes runoff. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
And with the dawn, I'll wake and yawn and carry on to water.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Butt. 7:16 in the morning, 78 degrees out there, clear water out there. Phone lines are 605-4567. Assemblyman Brian Daly is our guest. We just, you know, Bob Fine's great bump music there, Brian.
That was good. I liked it.
Hey, okay, the last thing on the water is that are we getting to the point where, I mean, they've gone after senior water rights. Are they going to go after all the water rights, the state?
Well, that's part of the confusion, Carl, is that, you know, these water rights, there's so many different stages of water rights. There's pre-1914, there's people that had water rights even before that, or who had use of water before that, who have a right to it. There's riparian water rights, there's adjudicated water rights, and that, I think, quite frankly, is part of the confusion for the State Water Resource Control Board, because they're trying to get their arms around who has what, and there's just thousands of water rights in the state, and then on top of that you have the municipalities and the community service districts and the city, and it is overwhelming for them. And they went and gave them the ability to be able to find people. So that's where I say that we're trying to help with some of the water right holders. It's very difficult.
I imagine it is. Okay, I mean we could do a week on water rights. Governor signed the vaccination bill.
Yes, he did.
Over much opposition, including you, on this.
Yep. I didn't support it. I believe in freedom and choice of parents to be able to vaccinate. Even my own children, I didn't give them all the vaccinations. I consulted with my cousin, who is my medical doctor, and we chose not to give a couple of the shots. We did give some, but the others we didn't. I wouldn't have. Well, I think there is an exemption in there now, but it's very difficult. But I just think that the parents should have the right to choose how they want to. And there's studies that show, or there's people who believe that it leads to autism and to other things. I'm not sure if that's a fact, but if one child has had an effect with it, that they don't want to give the other child the shot. So, but it passed. It signed the law, and we'll have to work through that. So I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the legislation I'm working on, if we could.
Absolutely.
So I have I did get a bill signed into law 2 days ago, which helped Mayor's Memorial Hospital up in MacArthur. They had to do seismic retrofit, and that was a law that was passed. I think it was clear back as far as 2000. We were supposed to do our retrofits by 2008. But it's been very difficult because it's expensive to do. So in MacArthur, we did one the year before. Ted Gaines and I did a bill the year before to do a design build. They called it saves money. It moves the process through quicker. But we were able to get a bill signed just last week for Mayor's Memorial. So you'll see construction start up there probably in about a year. It'll save them some money. And so that's a positive thing. The other thing, the other big piece of legislation I'm working on this year, amongst a lot of other ones, but I have a bill, AB 590, which is helping our biomass plants. So we have biomass. That's where you go out and collect the residue off the forest floor, and they chip it up and burn it, and it's a renewable electricity. So we have a lot of those plants in the district and quite frankly throughout the state who have shut down. And the reason being is that they can't compete with with wind and solar and other forms of renewables, because it's expensive to go out and gather the material to make the electricity. So I have a bill, AB 590, which we just got out of the Senate. I've made it all the way through our House. I had to go to utilities, and I had to go through natural resources and off our floor, and I was able to get it over the Senate with no votes. And I presented it last week in utilities in the Senate side, and we got out of there with no votes. So we've had all unanimous votes for it. What we're asking to do is, you know, they have this greenhouse gas reduction fund, which is the offsets for cap and trade.
Right.
And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but we pay, every one of us, when we put fuel in our car, we pay for that. And when we buy electricity, we pay for that. And, you know, in our part of the state, we don't see much return on our investment because we have clean air where we live, and we don't have the transportation issues as much as they do in the southern part of the state. And so we don't see much of that money coming back. So I've asked for, $74 million of that, greenhouse gas reduction fund to come to offset some of the fuel costs, excuse me, for the biomass to come into the plant so that we can compete with wind and solar, who are both subsidized at the state and federal level.
Well,
they whittled it down to $50 million, but we're still in the game, and we're moving the bill forward.
Well, you know, the part about biomass is what you're doing is you're collecting all the refuse off it's already down on the ground there, which is just tinder for fires.
Well, that's the whole point. So we cut down the small diameter trees too.
Okay.
We're opening the forest up. So the co-benefits of doing biomass are huge. You get water quality because you're basically weeding the forest. You're taking out the dead and dying and the overgrown, and we're chipping that up, and it opens the floor up so that, you know, the forest naturally burned every 10 to 15 years before we came and settled. And then what happened was we cut a lot of that forest down. We built our cities, shored up our mines. And then as it grew back, we did the Smokey the Bear campaign, and we put fire out, which fire naturally thinned the forest. So what we need to do is open that forest up and allow the fire to do what it's supposed to do. But we can't do that. We can't just let fire do it now because there's too much fuel out there, and we have these very hot, intense, catastrophic events. So that's the goal. The co-benefits of doing biomass are huge. It's jobs in our community, it's water quality, it's air quality, it's also, you know, great for the wildlife too, because when we have these huge mega fires, it just annihilates all the wildlife.
It saves water silt, too.
Yeah, and then the silt behind the dams that collects our water after we have those fires. Even the Nature Conservancy, believe it or not, came out with an article about 2 months ago, it was in the SACB, that said if we thin the forest, we could increase our water yields from 3 to 6%. Well, if you made, let's just take 3%, 3% more water out of the Sierra is millions of acre feet of water.
Oh, it's a great idea. I mean, and we've had people on here talking about water and trees and how much, you know, trees, you know, will suck up water even during winter time. So if you can thin out the trees, you can actually save, you know, just like you said, millions of acre feet of water. And it's just a simple plan. But you're having to fight the no cut ever people. But you got this through.
Yeah.
But you got this through the Dems and all this, and with no votes. And is this going to happen?
I'm hopeful. We have to go through a Senate EQ, that's environmental quality. But we've had even the Sierra Club has not opposed. They didn't support it, but they haven't opposed our bill. So I've been able to beat them the last couple times I've ran forestry bills, and so this is just a common sense bill. I mean, how can you argue with trying to save our forest? And so we're not talking about cutting down old growth trees, and, you know, and they try to spin that. We do have some opposition. The Center for Biological Diversity is opposing our bill, but I have a joint author who is Rudy Salas. He's from the Valley, because he needs biomass for the farm ag waste down there. They don't want to open burn, and they have bad air quality problems in the Fresno Bakersfield area. So we have a good coalition. I'm excited about the bill. I think you know, we can maybe get it to the governor and actually see something happen and help save some of our jobs in the North State, our biomass. I mean, we live right there in Anderson, is is struggling, and the one in, there's one in Burney, there's one in Honey Lake over at Susanville, down by Rockland. There's they're all just on a thread, and so if I can save those, it's hundreds and hundreds of jobs in the North State.
Plus, it's energy and cheaper energy, and it's renewable energy. So you know, which is what everybody wants. So you know, it's just it's too bad it makes that much sense, Brian. Hey, the budget where the governor, you know, going back and forth with the with his legislators there, that they're betting on the come, and he's saying he's not sure that that's going to happen. You know, is raising, you know, that they're going to have that much money coming in. We're spending an awful lot of money out there, and is there going to be any respite? Is it going? Are we going to have a actually spend less than we're, you know, than we're making?
I have more faith in the governor than I do the rest of the legislators, to be honest with you. He held them to the, he only lost out. Well, they had a quite a bit more in his estimated budget. They inflated it quite a bit,
right?
To the maximum amount of the LAO's office put out, Legislative Aaron's office. That's what that means. And he only increased it by $60 million, which to his credit, he's pretty tough to negotiate with. And you know, he just doesn't care. He's not running for another job, and he's going to do what he thinks, and he's, and the public likes him. If you poll him, he's by far the most popular guy in this building down here, and he's going to do what he wants to do, and he does. And he pushes the Democrats around. We think it's great when he's talking the same thing we're talking about, which he was. They were talking about inflating it, and he was talking about, you know, doing other stuff. Now, how he spends it, we have some, lots of conflict with him on that, but at least he's trying to hold it down some, a lot more than the others are.
Brian, we just got a few minutes left. Tell us what we should be looking for here in the next 3, 4, 5 months.
You're going to see a special session coming through, Carl, and that's going to deal with, from what I think, there's some transportation. They're talking about doing some transportation legislation. I think that would be the big thing. The main thing we want to do, Carl, is look, the economy is turned around, and that's because they raised taxes on the wealthy, and there's more money coming in. But what I would like to see them do is not spend that money. What goes up will come down, and we've been through some hard times, and the state's moving in the right direction. We have this drought. It's uncertain. I would like to see us save some of that money or give it back to the taxpayer. That's something that never happens here. I'd like to see us give the taxpayer and the business folks some relief. You know, the business people are dealing with the higher minimum wage. They're dealing with the Obamacare. They're struggling out in California. It's tough to do business in California. So I'm focused on less regulation and more people working. And so hopefully we can see some of that movement. We're going to be out of session here in a couple of weeks for a month. You know, we have our summer break coming, which is good for you. When we're not here, you're saving money. And then we'll come back this fall, and we'll drill down on the rest of the legislation that's going through, and that's when you'll see all the plays happen. It's coming. We're out here about September 11th, I think. So that's when you'll really see the change.
Okay. Hey, our guest is Assemblyman Brian Daly. And, Brian, you know, we really appreciate everything you do and how you're fighting for us up there, and that you're going at it in a way of building the consensus as opposed to just constantly saying, oh, no, my way or the highway.
Carl, real quick, I know we're getting ready to sign off here, but I want to let you know I've had 28 members to the district, and we're taking 11 or 9 of the 13 of the Black Caucus members to Tahoe in July, and we're going to talk to them about forestry and let them see one of the most beautiful places in the state and build relationships so that when I run my legislation, hopefully they'll be able to vote for it, and they'll understand our way of life. So I know that not everybody gets to live in Tahoe. I don't live there, but we're going to show them that part of the state. And a lot of them have never been there before. So
really?
I'm trying to build those relationships so that for the future of the North State, we can. When I talk about what happens in the North State, they'll understand.
That's great. Hey, Brian, we're setting up so that you're going to be on here once a month so we can talk about it, have a little more time and discuss things on it. Because and the one thing, everybody, is, of course, is Assemblyman Brian Daly is always available to his constituents. And, I mean, I've seen that. No matter what anybody says, but, well, you know, I can always talk to him. So, you know, that's real positive. And I hope that continues on.
You bet. That's my job.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you have a good day, and thanks a lot for calling in. You bet.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's a better-known business, and Espresso Joe's there. You get any type of coffee, latte, espressos, any of that at really good prices. You're not mortgaging your house to get it. And then, of course, they have cold drinks also there and brew, as you might imagine, and wines. And walk next door to just the finest tobacco emporium in the Northern California area. They've got it all. E-cigs have got it all there in a walk-in humidor that has very highly rated cigars. They're highly rated by Cigar Aficionado. All of this at 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with the Movie Makers.
Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's got her show tonight out at Twin River. Yeah, it's starting at 7, from 7 to 9. Lady Bought and the Bluebirds, but you can go there around 6 o'clock and get dinner. They got special menus for Romance on the River out at Elements Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino. Crown Motors is celebrating the 239th birthday of our country with a salute to flag and country. Visit Crown Motors and check out their huge 4th of July weekend sale on all vehicles, new and used. And then come join us on tomorrow We're going to be there on a remote, on location at Crown Motors, and we're going to have both veterans and immigrants to this country who came and have been a success, and then, of course, veterans who have served this country from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, also from all the wars that have started since Vietnam and that people have served. All this tomorrow morning out at Crown Motors, and then head on down there this weekend because of this huge sale they're having, their local Ford, Dodge, Honda, Nissan dealership. You know, people, there are things going on in our community that a lot of people don't know about. One of them is the movie industry here in Shasta County. And people kind of like scratch their heads. But there is a there's a company here, Trollax, that makes movies. And they're based right out of Shasta County, I believe. I mean, I know you've got offices down in Hollywood and all that. So I'm here with Caleb Phillips and Blaine Gonzalez. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Okay, so Caleb, tell us a little bit about, one, about Trollax.
Well, it's a small independent film company that me and a few other friends from film school had started in Los Angeles after we graduated. And we decided to come here to Reading with the help of my father and my brother, who both help produce the movies that we make. And we came here to shoot movies in the beautiful scenery that Reading provides. And our goal is to make low movies for cheap and distribute them and try to grow from there.
Less expensive.
Yes.
A lot of quality for less money, right?
Yes.
Okay. Blaine, how'd you get into this? Blaine, how'd you get into this?
Well, came over here from Texas to join film school, met Caleb in film school, and...
Came over from Texas.
Yep.
Yes, sir. What part?
Southeast Beaumont near Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Met Caleb in film school, got along real well, and decided to come up here, start directing movies, start making movies.
Okay, film school. How did you get into what in your life, a kid from Texas out of Beaumont, decide he wants to go and be in films?
I had a lot of different inspirations. I always was a huge fan of movies. My father was a particularly big inspiration in my life, always showing me science fiction, 2001: A Space Odyssey, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Brilliant, brilliant science fiction, and I wanted to make movies that kind of inspired the same feelings and messages, so I decided to live a dream.
Well, why not? How about you, Caleb?
Well, I was born and raised here in Reading, and it became apparent to my family that I wasn't going to exactly start getting film work here, and we started looking into film schools. And, I mean, ever since I was 8 years old, I was making movies with my family's camera, so it was always what I wanted to do. Like, I saw Star Wars, and I knew that's what I wanted to do forever.
Obviously not the original Star Wars. No, it's okay. The one I saw. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so and you both went to UCLA?
It's a film school called LA Film.
Oh, LA Film, okay.
Aptly named, I guess. And it's a relatively smaller school, but it's just got some phenomenal teachers there.
But that's what they do. They teach film.
Real hands-on experience. We got to work with cameras and understand what it's like to be on sets and to learn every aspect of filmmaking there.
Okay, so so you came back up to Reading because this seems like a good place. And I agree with you. You know, you've got the scenery, you've got the outdoor ability, and you've got, I think, a lot of talented people up here.
Well, yeah, it's we also got plenty of not just talented like actors, and but we got plenty of filmmakers too. And the thing is that, like, and it's not just people film related. Everyone, business, you know, any local businesses, any anybody, like, is excited to make movies. Like, it hasn't become such a large business yet that everyone's kind of gotten to that more jaded side. Everyone's just still excited, and we've just gotten astronomical amounts of help here from the Reading community.
Well, that's great. You know, Bob, you do a lot of filming and does, you know, I don't know if you've ever done any movies, but I know you do a lot of, you know, commercials and,
it's
you know, taping for people
and
video stuff.
Over at Dancing with the Stars and, informational type stuff, educational stuff.
Have you ever wanted to make a movie?
Well, yes, of course. And I've met some industry professionals, and it's a very intensive, you don't make tons of money right away by any stretch of the imagination. There's damn few Spielbergs out there. Although I will hasten to say that, of course, Kathleen Kennedy
came from here.
She graduated a year ahead of me.
Kathleen Kennedy is from here, Shasta High School.
Wow.
In fact, her family is still here. And when Lincoln was premiered in like three spots in the United States, one of them was right here in the Cascade Theater.
Wow.
Kathleen Kennedy. Oh, yeah. Kathleen, yeah. She just comes out, hey, everybody. You know, and people know her. They remember her from here, and then her family lives here. In fact, I think it's part of the Middletons.
Yeah,
or she's part, her sister married into
the clans are connected.
The clans are all connected up here,
Wow.
So, yeah. So you didn't know that?
I had no idea.
So see, going on radio, you learn something in radio all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're up here, you're making films, you're just getting ready to release one, or you have released one, right?
Yeah. The Hunting, nice little horror monster flick. It's kind of a. Primarily, we sell to overseas markets. We've done two already, and this is our third. And we're working with people in the local community to. I've lost my point. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we make The Hunting. It's a movie. I saw the trailer, by the way, and it's a it's your typical. I shouldn't say typical, but I mean, there's a certain genre. You've got a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, an older fellow, it looks like, who has been lost or something, and then everybody else is out looking, and then the monster comes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so then it's a battle to see who lives to the end.
And. Just to clarify what Blaine was saying, we haven't released it yet. We just released the trailer. But, it's just the typical monster movie. Like, we've been inspired by movies like Predator and things like that. Like, we just wanted to make a fun B-rated movie.
We're offerings on the Sci-Fi Channel.
right.
Isn't that funny?
We're crossing our fingers for Sci-Fi.
Where old stars go to die.
No, they usually go to reality shows.
Right.
When you're making a movie like this, there's so many movies being made. I mean, how many movies would you say are being made? I mean, do you have any idea?
No.
In a year, thousands a year,
no,
right?
No,
it's
kind
of like it's tens of thousands.
I don't know.
Times have never been better for video.
Of course, is it easier now with all the equipment? Can anybody? Of course, you have to have training, but.
Yeah.
But the equipment that's out there, I mean, people are doing things on their Apple phones.
Yeah.
With really good clarity on that. I mean, is that can you use things like that in a movie?
I think you absolutely can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This thing in my hand, this little Samsung phone, has more resolution than a $10,000 camera just a couple of years ago.
I know that because we were looking at different types and we're doing television and stuff that. And just wait a year, and it gets like a half the size and more resolution and easier to use. And So you decide to we've made this movie. Who comes up with the idea, or is this a collaboration?
It's all really collaborative. We have our main in-house writer Trevor Dukakis, who couldn't be here today. He's in L.A. But it's all very collaborative. I, as a director, have my hands in it very much and manipulate the final product. And Caleb is a cinematographer and a main producer, helps to shape the story. And actors help to bring new things to each scene. And it,
trying to get to the guy outside, get his attention.
Yeah.
Can you close the door of this door, Bob, since other Bob is not reading my arm and hand signals? There we go.
It's an incredibly collaborative process, and in the end, I don't think it's any one person. It's a group of people.
Yeah, okay, so then here's the idea. So you come up with the story, and then you start the writing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you pretty much scripted out, or is the type of movie making now more of a, hey, this is the scene, and this is where we're going with it, and kind of let the people run with it a little bit?
Oh no, I wouldn't think so at all. Like, if anything, like it's. You really can't hurt yourself by being overprepared, and you can always be spontaneous and let things fly when you're on the day and give actors the freedom, but it's best to come with everything as diagrammed out as you possibly can get.
The movie is made, months before you ever get on set. You storyboard every single shot and decide which lens and where the character's going to stand and how they're going to stand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have this great idea for a line. Well, that's great, but say this one.
Yeah.
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 I like that. You know, yeah. I mean, of course, being in the military, I like that. But you know, I just was wondering how spontaneous you're doing.
It definitely has a military-like structure. I mean, there's a massive chain of command. It definitely has to. Yeah,
you know, the thing is, when I've read about it, is that, you know, you see all this. You never shoot in a sequence, or it's rare that you shoot in a sequence. You know, you may have a bunch of actors there shoot for a couple of days doing all these different scenes before you move on. So, which was a surprise. I just thought it just kind of, you shot it all through and said, no, this one guy has been there. He's there for 3 days, makes his $1 million and walks away.
Yeah.
Right. You don't pay like that here, though, right?
I mean, there's some directors who do like 60 takes for just one shot, and it can get really insane. I mean, Lisa Collins, I think, said the Hollywood way is to get there, hurry up, to wait, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
You just... Everyone's on time, everyone's always rushing, and half the people are always sitting around for something else, and it definitely can get kind of hectic.
It's like the military.
Slow. Yeah.
Hurry up and wait. Okay, hey, we're here with Caleb Phillips and Brian Gonzalez from Trollax Movie Productions, and they're here. They make movies right here in Redding in Shasta County. We're going to talk more about the movies and how they do it and how they make it and how you can get into the movies, maybe. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Head on down. Talk to Leonard. He has got every type of jewelry you can possibly imagine, you know, specializing in estate jewelry. They've got the only trained watch repairman in all of Northern California, or I should say in this whole area here. He can fix any type of watch. He can build watches, if that's what you want. All of this at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, across from Sierra Gibbs, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react
to it. Mom's doing it again.
Be positive. That new at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
She hates my mama.
Lyle Lovett and his large band are returning to Redding's historic Cascade Theater. This four-time Grammy winner is a music icon, fusing country, swing, jazz, and the blues. He'll bring it all to the Cascade Theater stage Wednesday, July 15th at 7:30. Tickets are on sale now to the general public. Get yours today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
You can see all the stars as you walk down Hollywood Boulevard.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for her show tonight out at Wind River Casino in Elements Lounge. You're going to love it out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. John Bastiani started his company 6 years ago and has become a very much a success in our city. Located at 2539 Larkspur, his customer service, the selection of guns, the fact that he has everything a person could want who wants to shoot, including all the shooting accoutrements, all at Bastiani Arms. Again, 2539 Larkspur, big sales going on all the time. John prides himself on customer service. Give him a call at 222-8222. Bastiani Arms. We're here with Blaine Gonzalez and Caleb Phillips of Trollax Productions. Is it Productions?
Kind yes,
of
yes okay. It is.
They make movies, and they've made three movies up here. One they're getting ready to release called The Hunting. It has a number of local people in it.
Yes.
And you want to grow the movie business.
Absolutely, especially, I mean, there's already a lot of talented people like Rachel Nichols, Daniel Nichols, Matthew Thayer, not to mention the film commissioner, Chad New, from Film Shasta. Everyone here is really excited to make movies, and we want to, we have a lot of great people in L.A. who can't move here because they can't support themselves. We want to create film jobs. Like, we want to give people in L.A. a reason to move here because I think people really would like one.
Well, we were talking about this gentleman I met during the break. I asked him about that. When are you going to come up here? He said, we probably won't. And the reason being is that the studios aren't here. They're having to pay everybody time and a half or double time because you're coming from L.A. up here and they're going to be staying here. So there needs to be production facilities here. I think the guy Foxworthy was talking about building something here a few years ago, and that never got off the ground. So do you have to build it and they will come type thing?
That's what we're taking on faith. That's what it is. I mean, it's still kind of a byproduct. I mean, what we're trying to do is build something for ourselves. I mean, to be honest and selfish, but we would love that primarily because there are people that we pay transportation and housing and all that stuff whenever we bring them up here for projects. Like, we've got teams of people that we bring to make these movies.
Yeah, we have the seeds here to start something like that, to start something rather large that will easily start attracting attention from down south. People will, especially unionized people, will easily travel up here to start working for a studio that's making, million-dollar projects.
Yeah, or multi-million-dollar projects.
Let's hope.
Okay, let's talk about then here the future for Trollax. You've made three movies, and you're selling those. So what's it look like here for the next 6 or 7 months? You got another movie coming up.
Yeah, we're looking into something kind of a little bit more fun and lighthearted. We're looking at an action comedy. We like the idea of, and we've got the script almost kind of fleshed out, but four friends decide to start robbing banks in a small town, except that they're idiots. So you've pretty much got...
They're normal people.
Yeah, and it's sort of this kind of guy fantasy, just kind of fun action.
Guy fantasy.
Yeah, just shootouts with cops. Like, every person that wants to relive Heat or anything like that. And they get way in over their heads because it's not as easy as it looks.
They've been watching Heat too much, right?
Yeah. We're moving into pre-production for that pretty soon, and our writer has been working diligently on trying to get that out, and
Now you hire locals.
Yeah, we hire.
Or you just
we do.
You
both.
Invite you invite locals to be in.
Yeah.
For crowd scenes
and
things like that.
My dad, Jim Phillips, he's of definitely the state of mind that he wants to pay people what they're worth every time. So we try to pay people when we can. So anybody we've got booming, or any sort of editing or anything like that, we try to pay. And then the people who we can't find, who don't have the skills required for that job, we try to get from L.A.
Okay. So you're looking for extras then for the next movie?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm volunteering because I told you. Here, on my bucket list is to be in a movie.
Excellent.
I met Clint Eastwood, sat there and talked one night.
Wow.
And he had just finished Letters from Evil.
Hmm.
Flags of Our Fathers, and then it was Letters from Evil, right? After that, the second movie from the Japanese side of it.
I believe so.
Okay. and we were, you know, he was talking about it, and I didn't ask him, hey, can I be in your next movie? But I'm asking you guys.
Yeah.
And the only thing I have to do is be in a crowd seat, but I've got to have my face there so I can buy the movie and send it to my kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, there's Grandpa!
I mean, that's really what we want. It's really hard, especially for low-budget filmmakers, to get extras. To get a bunch of people to stand around is... It's definitely not the most glamorous work.
Really,
so.
Have you been over to us? Have you been down in the woods around here? You could probably get a lot of these guys to come out
probably.
And stand around, and
yeah.
if you're going to feed them.
So seriously, anybody that you know or have, like, we would love to have you and anyone.
There are several scenes that will require lots of extras. So
this sounds like a lot of fun. Now, do you do it right here in town then, something like this?
No, we're planning on it.
Okay,
yeah,
then the police get in on this too, so that
we're
going to have to block off streets.
Yeah, because we've done that for one of the movies. Like, we blocked out.
A street right here down
Sacramento.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, Sacramento Street from like Pine to California or something like that,
mm-hmm.
if I'm getting the streets right.
Did anybody notice?
Huh? Yes.
No, just kidding.
Yes, actually, a whole lot of.
Yeah, a lot of people probably noticed, yeah.
Because we put trash in the streets and had a horse running through the streets and whatever.
Big sword.
Yeah, it was like an apocalyptic.
People were worried.
I'm loving this. You two living the dream here?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
How cooperative are local officials being with all this?
Oh, insanely cooperative.
Much more than I thought.
Unbelievably.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, if you want to be in a movie, how do people get a hold of you guys?
Well, right now we're getting our website up for distribution and everything, so that's still kind of in the works. But right now it's mainly our Facebook page. Like, I'm meeting with a few people next week, and that's really where
I'm loving this guy, and I'll tell you why. Linda and I started this station out of nothing 6 years ago.
Really?
Never been in radio. We were talking heads for, I don't know, for a few months. I mean, I'd spent my life in the Marine Corps, and Linda's been an entertainer, so she understood radio. And we bought this station and built it.
Wow.
I mean, it was a dark license, and I should say with this man right here, and he's been with us from the beginning.
I mean, this
place was filled with trash, old car engines and everything, and we built this. So... And was it our dream? I don't know if it was our dream, but it's worked out. And we wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
So we so much encourage your two young guys and your friends that are trying to do something. It's their dream, and you're living your dream, and it's not easy out there.
No, but thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, that's what we mean, is that we do appreciate people doing that because, you know, we're also big into, to start up businesses.
Yeah.
And just because you're doing low budget now –
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that, you don't hit that one. Blair Witch Project.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's probably the holy grail for all of y'all, right?
Oh, yes.
It is the Blair Witch Project where you make $100 million and it costs how much?
A million?
No.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was a lot less than $1 million.
Like 130,000, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was like almost nothing.
Yeah.
Two movies that you want to find because they were made during the individual's earliest days. One of them is the original THX-1138,
done by
Lucas, which is actually coming true, unfortunately. The other one is by Spielberg. It's called Amblin. That was his student project. And then his first feature film was called Duel with Dennis Weaver.
That's brilliant.
That's fantastic film.
Yeah, we've got that one, too, on that one, because that's one of, the guy just did a fantastic job. But see, that's what you're looking for. And there's nothing to say that you won't hit that.
Yeah, I hope so.
And, well, so do we, because, we hope you remember your roots here, and then you built the studios here. Because this is a perfect job. That would be a perfect industry for up here.
Well, we really want to stay here.
It's a beautiful location,
too. Yeah, we plan on staying
here. Mountains, forests, lakes, rivers.
Everything you could want. And big enough that you can film in, like, a city spot, and then small enough you can get out of there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're here with Caleb Phillips and Blaine Gonzalez from Trollax Productions. They make movies here in town. How do they get a hold of you guys? Okay, you said Facebook, but...
Our Facebook page is Trollax Productions, and...
Our website is Trollax.com?
Yeah, Trollax.com, but I think it's
still a little bit
of maintenance.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean...
I found you guys by just looking it up.
Yeah, and my... A few people I talked to producing our films recommended that we just throw our number out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, call us if you want to help out, if you want to volunteer.
We'll throw that number out then.
530-524-3014. And text me, call me, whatever, ask to help out, and we'd love to have you.
Okay, what we're going to do is you can take this interview and link it right to your website so people can listen to you about what you're doing.
Perfect.
Like that. Okay. Hey, when we come back from here, like we've been here with Caleb Phillips and Blaine Gonzalez from Trollhatch Productions. They make movies. I think it's great. And we're going to have them back on a few times after this. When we come back after the news, we've got a senior supervisory position in one of the state prisons that's going to talk about contraband, how it gets in there, how it's used, what's the most valuable piece of contraband that enters into our state prisons. You know, remember those two guys that escaped from New York, and they did it by people smuggling stuff to them. How safe are our prisons? We'll be right back. Carl Lindebot, KCNR, 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A helicopter flying this morning above the Washington Navy Yard. It was placed on lockdown after reports of gunshots. An official says authorities found no evidence of a shooting. Nobody's been arrested. No weapons found. Several law enforcement officers have been hospitalized after a CSX train car carrying a flammable substance derailed and caught fire in eastern Tennessee. A sheriff's office spokeswoman said 10 officers had to be taken to the hospital early today because they had breathed in fumes. Meanwhile, about 5,000 people have been evacuated. Security officials urging the public to be extra vigilant this 4th of July with an ongoing threat of an ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. The NYPD's counterterrorism chief John Miller told CBS's This Morning what the experts look for when trying to spot potential dangers.
Somebody who's spending more time looking at security or looking out for police than they are looking at the event. Instead of looking at the front of the beautiful building, they're looking at the side entrances and where the cameras are.
The terrorist group ISIS has called on Muslims to carry out attacks during the month of Ramadan. The government says the jobless rate fell from 5.5% down to 5.3% in its latest report, but that's mostly because many people who were out of work gave up on searching for a job. Mesro Financial Chief Economist Diane Swonk, meanwhile, says besides fewer teens looking for work, there was another negative aspect to the latest report.
Overall earnings were very weak, in fact rising only 2% on average hourly earnings from a year ago. That's a deceleration from what we've seen in recent months, and again, the wrong direction for the Federal Reserve, the wrong direction for all of us.
And the percentage of Americans either working or looking for work fell to a 38-year low, a possible sign of more discouraged job seekers in general. On Wall Street, stocks opened slightly higher. Right now, it's a Dow Jones Industrial Average up by about 12 points. This is SRN News.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and home loss number 3030.
Orders to U.S. factories fell in May by the largest amount in 3 months.
The Commerce Department says it was a 1% decline in factory orders. Meanwhile, orders in a category which serves as a proxy for business investment dropped 0.4%. Much of the weakness in May reflected a huge 35.3% plunge in demand for commercial aircraft. The weak showing suggests that manufacturing is still struggling with challenges such as lower energy prices and a strong dollar, which dampens exports.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Aides to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker say the Republican is entering the crowded Republican race for president. They say Walker plans to launch his long-expected run by filing the necessary paperwork today. His official kickoff is expected July 13th in Wisconsin. Walker is in his second term as governor. He won a recall election back in 2012 after taking on union members by signing a law curtailing their collective bargaining rights. This is SRN News. Another shark attack off the coast of the Carolinas. North Carolina shark researcher Chuck Bangley says that a sudden heat wave in recent days may be playing a role.
The following biggest thing is probably that we just had a massive heat wave. It went from being, you know, about an average to 80, 85 degrees outside to heat indexes of over 101 for a straight week. And the water temperatures went up very rapidly with that.
There have been seven shark attacks off the coast of the Carolinas over the past 3 weeks. A dolphin leaped onto a boat in Southern California, crashing into a woman and breaking both of her ankles.
It was almost like it fell out of the sky because it was so high, like it was higher than I was. So it was really traumatic.
That is Christy Frickman, the unfortunate lady who wound up with a broken ankle. She says they struggled to finally get the 350-pound dolphin back in the water safely, as she explained to KNBC-TV. More details at SRNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda, of course, is getting prepared for her show tonight at Wind River, where she's singing with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. 243-3377 for reservations. It's 8:06 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bob, we didn't do enough of the weather the last hour. Let's just keep popping in with the weather, okay?
Absolutely, and a cooling trend. Yay! Well, it's only going to be 110 instead of 115 today, although there are some clouds in the sky. Possible shower or thunderstorm this afternoon, and overnight lows will be in the upper 70s, triple digits for the next several days, and increased fire danger, of course. Please be careful out there. Right now in Reading, it is 81 degrees in the report, brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
That's right. Veteran-owned business. They give senior and veterans discounts. Their customers are, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Give them a call at 365-3793. A lot of things going on. Remember, at Mount Shasta Mall, located next to Penny's, is Remembering Our Fallen, a pictorial display of all those service people from California who died in service to our country. Sponsored by the Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, Military Order of the Purple Heart, NorCal Veterans Historical Association, and Families Honoring Our Troops. The Gen Game, a play opening over there for Riverfront Playhouse. A story about an elderly man and woman play repeated games of gin in the retirement home, slowly coming to grips with what is left of their lives in their old age. A Pulitzer Prize winning play. It's a mature, it's for mature audiences because of language. And that's going to be a preview show. It opens July 11th and runs through August 8th. And we have tickets for that. Anybody's interested in going on Media Night July the 15th, please give us a call at 605-4567. See what else we have going on here. Right, so far on the show, we've had Assemblyman Brian Daly telling us things that are going on. They're trying to get a bill passed on biomass. He says the confusion on these water, on who has water, who doesn't have water, is got everybody confounded down in Sacramento. Well, what else is new? And then we had two young gents here from Trollax, which is a media production company. They do films. They're film production guys. They've made three movies, getting ready to release their last one here, The Hunting. It'll be out soon. Low budget, they sell. They do them on spec, but they want to stay here, and they're making movies. They've got enough money, and they're making enough money to keep making more movies. And if you remember the Blair Witch Project, which was made for like $50,000, made you know, what was it, $100 million out of that. So it takes people with imagination, and it doesn't take a lot of money to make things work right. So, you know, it's one of those things that you really hope that it comes across real well. But now, if you remember, it happened a couple of weeks ago out of New York. Two killers escaped. I mean, it was literally out of the movies. It was the Shawshank Redemption, you know, times two. These guys escaped out of a maximum security prison and just disappeared for 2 weeks. Eventually, one was shot and killed in a shootout, and the other one was just captured, I think it was last Saturday, when he was captured, and he was also shot. And is telling people how he got out. But from that, they arrested one of the the staff there, a woman, and then just arrested another man. And then what I just read was they've relieved something like they've relieved the warden and five or six other people there. But the way they got it, you know, she brought in a hacksaw. They used power tools that were there in the prison, and they would use them and then bring them back and put them back in their in the toolkits. And nobody seemed to notice this. But the big thing was how they brought things in to the prisoners. So today our guest is a former prison guard, a supervisory position, a sergeant there in San Quentin. And he called and we've talked, and I've known him a long time. He said, you know, people just don't have any idea just how bad this is. So we're here today. And we're just not going to use his name. We're just going to call him Sarge. And say, so good morning, Sergeant. Welcome.
Good morning, Carl.
You know, when we saw that, I mean, first of all, you get this thing, yes, they're murderers, but it was like, wow, these two guys broke out of, you know, maximum security prison. How'd they do something like that? I mean, it's, you know, you watch Alcatraz, you know, that one where Clint Eastwood goes over the wall with two other guys and they never find him based on a true story. Then you see the Shawshank Redemption, where it is, you know, it's fictional, but he chips his way. It takes him 25 years to chip his way out, or 20 years, but he makes it out. And he, of course, was an innocent man. So it was on this one you kind of cheered for him. He was an innocent guy. But then these two guys get out and through walls and all this, and nobody has any idea. Is it impossible? How do they do things like this?
Well, this happens a lot more than you think throughout the United States. I mean, this is an opportunity for man hunting man. You must stop him from escaping, because my sole responsibility was safety and security of the public and in the safety and security of the institution. But when this all transpired, I heard that there was two escapees that were both murderers. Well, as you and I noticed, when we went down to San Quentin, every inmate that you had contact with at San Quentin were all murderers. They were all equal to these guys that had escaped. So having murderers walking around the yard is commonplace. And when I heard that these two had escaped, it was understandable.
They weren't on death row.
No.
They were just murderers. And you're right. You know, and because I remember being in San Quentin, that the ones that had been condemned were kept in a separate housing
facility. They're isolated. It's almost like an administrative housing unit, or the hole, is where death row inmates are.
Right. But the other ones that are just walking around could be murderers. They just, you know, several times murderers, and they just were not condemned.
Well, I can tell you right now, every person you talked to was a murderer at the time.
Oh.
So when I heard about the escape, I just thought, well, that was an unfortunate incident for the institution, because they all worked very hard to prevent this. But then when I heard the word power tools come into play, I instantly knew that there was problems with that institution. Because smuggling is such a heinous problem for staff. Because myself, any staff member that would smuggle contraband into an inmate is the lowest of low. We work very hard at trying to prevent inmates from having contraband in the institution, whether it being drugs, pornographic material, alcohol. We work very hard. And we might work on a case for over a year, but when a staff member is bringing something in behind you and wiping out all your efforts, it's really degrading. Now, I also knew when there was smuggling involved, I knew there was a female involved in this. And she wasn't in it for profit, but she was manipulated because she's sympathetic towards an inmate.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a quick break here, and I want to talk about this. It came out that she what was happening with her, and she was supposed to be the one that picked them up and drove them away, too, if I understand this right. But we're going to come back. We're with a Sarge, who is a supervisor, a retired supervisory position in the San Quentin prison system, working in death row and other places. And when he wants to talk about is when we're talking, we've got these people in these really high security prisons. Maybe it's not as high security as we think it is. And how do they even get these things? Plus, there's a lot more to it than that. But right now, we're going to take a break in this portion of the show brought to you by Holiday Harbor. Right now, in the month of July, it's 25% off special for all 2015 summer rates on select models during the month of July. That's right, on select models, you can get 25% off their regular prices. And right now, Shasta Lake, if you read it in the paper, it's not been hit like other people, and there's plenty of water in Shasta Lake, and having used their facilities there, and the people at Holiday Harbor are just absolutely professional. You couldn't do any better than that. Give them a call at 238-2383 or go to lakeshasta.com. Have your staycation right here in Lake Shasta. We'll be right back.
View 202 has something new and exciting beginning July 5th from 11 to 2. It's jazz brunch on View 202's veranda, the only restaurant on the river. Executive chef Dustin Heisler will entice you to explore his unique and delicious new menu with a new twist on old classics like brioche French toast and Belgian freebird. Every Sunday, join me, Linda Bott, as I create a cool vibe on the veranda with my jazz ensemble. While dining by the river, experience fun cocktails like the Velvet Elvis, the Manmosa. Oh, and how about the Purple Cheetah? So come meet me at View 202 on the veranda for jazz brunch on the river, 202 Hempstead. Call 226-8439 for reservations today. Let loose every Sunday in July. Eat, drink, repeat.
And let me play among the stars. Let me see.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. With everybody heading to the lakes to stay cool, stop by and pick up some methanol-free 93 or high-octane race car fuel. If you plan on traveling this 4th of July weekend or staying at home, we want you to consider coming to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue at the Shasta District Fairgrounds along with Anderson Explodes on July 3rd. $10 donation, all you can eat. This is all done by the donations from the Junior Livestock Sale. So gather up the kids and come on down approximately 3:30. Have dinner and then watch the fireworks. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and kids. Corning, Redding, and Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Anderson explodes with fireworks and live music at the Anderson Fairgrounds Friday, July 3rd. Tennessee River, an Alabama tribute band, will be filming their live concert with openers starting at 5:30. Bring your family,
a chair,
a blanket to the Anderson Fairgrounds this Friday. Enjoy the bounce houses, the food vendors, a major concert at 8 p.m., and fireworks at 10 p.m. Admission is free. Parking is $4 per car. To sponsor this high-profile event, call 378-6789.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town.
The jailbreak somewhere in this town. You are so good, Bad Bob. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. 8:19 in the morning. 80 degrees. Weather report always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Alliance Heating and Air, going up to 100 and... Well, you can go up to like 107 today instead of 115. So it's, but you know what? It's all going to be over 100. Alliance Heating and Air. Okay, write this down or remember it. Alliance Heating and Air. If you got a heat, if you got a cooling problem at your house, they can work on any type. Let me say that again. Any type of air conditioning systems. All makes and models. They can come in and fix it. If you got an emergency, and there's a lot of emergencies right now, they will work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to get you cool again. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642. Or check out their website at homecomfort.org. All right. Our guest is, we're just calling him Sarge, Sergeant. He is a retired member of the San Quentin prison staff there. He was a supervisory position and on death row and other places. And we're talking about how do those guys get out? How do those guys get out of that New York prison? And as he said, well, you know what? These guys, are, you know, could do it. There's a number of different ways. But as soon as he heard they use power tools, he knew that there was something really wrong in the situation. And then as it's coming out with a woman, and when you finished, you said the woman could have helped them for a number of reasons, not necessarily for money, but other reasons too.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the ability to have any monetary value to her to help these guys. But on the other hand, when you work with a staff of inmates and you've been with them for many, many years, you start kind of forming a friendship with them in the sense of you try to keep it very professional, but these guys get to start knowing if you're married, if you have children, if you have grandchildren.
They watch you.
Oh, yeah.
They listen. They hear everything. Huh?
And then some people even start talking about their personal problems with these inmates, and then that's where they open the door to be manipulated because inmates are in there are professionals when it comes to picking up and start manipulating your weaknesses because they certainly learn them. And so we watch that very carefully in San Quentin. We have a unit of correctional staff that go around and make sure that they are watching staff that can be manipulated by inmates. The term over familiarity is really large inside the prison walls. Because you'll see the same inmates walking with the same staff day in and day out, and you know when they start crossing the line to be manipulated.
And in the military, it's called fraternization. And a lot of people think fraternization means sex between a senior and a junior. No, not necessarily. They can just be, in a lot of cases, it'd be senior staff NCOs that, you know, they're just hanging around with people junior to them. And the same thing with officers. And it's not good for discipline or good order. And with here, it's probably even worse because you got guards that are being buddies with somebody that's in there for a long time. They're only doing this for one reason.
And the staff that generally get caught smuggling, it's to profiteer. All the stories that I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes are all because correctional officers are not making enough money and they want to be affiliated with these inmates, possibly for gang affiliations on the streets. So they'll do anything to keep that inmate happy, and then they get paid. And it's really simple. All they do is they have a family member meet them at a chosen place. The inmate's family gives the correctional staff or free staff money, and then they bring in what the inmate wants. And I've had some wild cases of smuggling in my life at San Quentin that just infuriated me to no end. Let me give you a couple. But before I forget, now this is a call-in show. If you've got a question or a myth that you want to be answered today, I'm your man. I've been there. I've walked the walk and done the talk.
605-4567. You know, when we start talking about people like, remember Scott Peterson? He's at San Quentin. Where's Scott Peterson and what's happening with him? That's really an interesting thing. But if you've got a question for the Sarge about how easy is it, or, you know, rumors or whatever you've heard, ask him and ask him now because he's not holding anything back. What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen smuggled in, or the one that you just went, I just don't believe this?
Heroin. I saw a nurse, a male nurse, I'll give him what he was, a male nurse, Luckily, a correctional officer was very observant, and when he was going down death row, he noticed this one inmate was not getting, when he was being tested for diabetic, this nurse was not checking him for his ratings and couldn't understand it, but he was checking everybody else's ratings, but he was always just giving this guy a shot. So the correctional officer informed a supervisor that he thought that that was kind of strange. So one day they set up a sting, and when he gave the inmate a shot, they took the hypodermic needle away from the nurse, found out it was full of heroin.
So the nurse is just coming in and shooting people up, shooting this one guy up.
And this man was on death row. Heinous killer. And so this nurse had no problem giving him a shot of heroin every day instead of his insulin.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about death row here. How many inmates on death row?
About 725 now.
725 on death row. Now, there's more murderers in San Quentin than that.
Oh, definitely.
So how many prisoners in San Quentin?
When I left, there was 6,000. Because of AB 109, now they've cut it probably down to about 3,500.
Oh, wow. So it's down to AB 109? So that means AB 109 guys are here with us, though.
That's correct.
This is after being in San Quentin for several years.
That's right.
I'm not exactly sure how that equates, except that it probably was a good training school for a lot of people before they released them.
Oh, no question. You learn all kinds of techniques in San Quentin.
Okay, so there's 3,500 people in San Quentin. So if they released a lot of the AB-109ers, that means the ones they have left are pretty hardcore guys.
That's definite. They're either level 3 or level 4 now.
The part that really interested me, or the part that didn't interest, well, I mean, it was just, to me, it was astounding. Of those 725 prisoners on death row who are there for a heinous crime to get to be condemned to death, over half of them had never been arrested before.
That's correct.
Or did not have a criminal record.
That's correct. All you have to do to get on death row is that they can prove intent, that you intended to kill somebody, and that's going to get you the death penalty. But you have to remember, too, of the 725 inmates on death row, there's over 2,100 victims. The average inmate on death row killed 3 people each. So we're talking some heinous individuals.
Yeah, and it could be the one that's never been arrested before ends up killing his wife and his kids, as Scott Peterson.
That's correct.
You know, that he didn't have a record at all.
But when we fade back into smuggling, there's nothing more disheartening to be on death row at 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sitting in my office doing some paperwork, and upstairs you hear a cell phone ring. And when a death row inmate has a cell phone, he's either getting it two ways, through visiting or staff, dirty staff.
Now, how dangerous is a cell phone?
It's extremely dangerous. It's escape paraphernalia. They can use that to conduct business. They can use it to
put hits out on people.
Make sure you do this for me, because cell phones obviously are not monitored. Because every phone call that goes out of San Quentin, a legal phone call, is monitored by tower guards. They sit there all day long listening to inmates communicating back and forth to their families. And that just drives an inmate crazy when he knows somebody's listening to him.
Well, now, how much of the problem is from families smuggling stuff in? Is it more families than guards, or is it families?
It's 80% coming through visiting. And 20% coming through staff.
Okay.
Now, we all know that I just told you that 80% of all contraband coming into the institution comes through visiting. But the liberal views of our politicians throughout the years has made it appropriate for these inmates to have actual physical contact with their loved ones. Now, I know you've seen pictures of other institutions where visiting, they either behind glass or through a screen. And you can't insert any contraband when you have this. Now, they could come in a Sally Port situation and be searched when they come in, and then they can hug their family, get their free kiss that they have coming, but then they go behind a screen door or a screened wall, and then they communicate through that. That would stop it. But do you think Sacramento would implement that to stop the drugs and the smuggling that comes through? Because I've actually done it myself, where I've taken contraband off of children that are in strollers. These inmates have absolutely no shame.
So once they visit, their family comes in to visit them with their children, and their one piece nighties and all that, or their little, you know, with their little feet in there, but inside that is heroin and stuff that's wrapped around their little bodies. They come in. Are the prisoners able? You say go behind a screen so nobody can see them.
No, I actually, like, if you were looking through a screen door and you have an inmate on one side and the family member on the other.
Okay.
Kind of like a Cool Hand Luke situation.
All right.
Where you have no physical contact other than your hug at the beginning.
Okay.
That's your physical contact.
So that hug is where they pass it then.
At San Quentin, they have contact the whole visiting time.
Okay, that's what I mean.
So the woman goes in the bathroom. She comes back out. She has a drug in her mouth. She kisses her inmate, and she passes it to the inmate in his mouth.
Okay. All right. Our guest is a supervisory retired sergeant in the San Quentin prison system, both on death row and other places, and he's talking about contraband and how the contraband gets in there and how this works in San Quentin. And we're going to talk about that some more, about why there's no cameras in San Quentin. The future of what he sees is going on there, plus other great stories from that happening. If you have a question, let's give him a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show, though, brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. If you're looking for that concealed carry class, that hunting class, anything that has to do with firearms, you need to see Ted Leidy at Northern Firearms Instruction. They'll even provide a pistol and ammo for you for your class if you haven't decided on which pistol you want, and then they're going to help you pick out that weapon that you can carry to protect yourself. Register online at readingccw.com or give them a call at 999-1822, Northern Firearms Instruction. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best? It's Romance on the River with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, July 2nd from 7 to 9 p.m. in Elements Lounge inside Wind Rivers Resort and Casino. This is Linda Bot. Join me as I sing my favorite jazz standards from the American Songbook along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and our special guest, the phenomenal trombone player Joe Larson. For reservations, call 243-3377.
It's a 4th of July salute to our veterans as the Redding Colt 45s take on the Novato Knicks. Half of the proceeds go to MIAP, the Missing in America Project, to help cover expenses for their upcoming burial trip to Arlington, Virginia. After the game, you can stay and watch fireworks from the bleachers or on the field. Get your tickets now in Redding at Stroop's Equipment Sales, Tobacco and Brew, or the MIAP office on Bocelli. Game time is 6:15. Join us at Tiger Field for Colt 45's baseball and a 4th of July salute to our veterans.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
San Quentin, you've been living hell to me. You blistered me since 1963. I've seen them come and go and I've seen them die. And long ago, I stopped asking why.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. Linda, of course, has dancing and singing tonight at Wind River Casino and Resort in the Elements Lounge, where she's going to be singing with her band, Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's a great time. Everybody has a wonderful time there. Give them a call, 243-3377, for reservations, and say you want to be up close. I don't know, maybe a little bit late for that, but you can always great seats at the bar and all that to be able to see everything that's going on there. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business right off Athens Avenue across from the subway. Place right there, and I can tell you right now, you're not going to find a better haircut at better prices or a more Cheers-like atmosphere than you do at Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. Again, okay, again, it's off of Athens Avenue across from the subway, Cypress Square Barbershop. Okay, our guest is a retired supervisory sergeant in at San Quentin. Worked on death row and a number of other places in the administration, and just talking to him. I've known him for a long time, and we just won't use his name. But we were talking about things during the break that we're going to bring out later on. But let's go to the phones first. Howard, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question?
I just have a quick comment followed by two questions. San Quentin definitely left an impression on me. I was there four times. As a guest, back in the 60s, they had a program where I was in a sports at a college that I went to, and I was in there twice to two different years to play football against the prisoners on their field, and twice because I was on the college wrestling team to go up into the top of the facility way up high, several stories up, and wrestle. And in the process of being there, we obviously got a bit of a tour of some of the facilities, and I have actually sat twice in the chairs where they used to gas them. So my questions, number one, are does San Quentin, to your knowledge, do any of those sports things anymore where they bring teams or wrestling teams in? And secondly, I would be interested in your personal thoughts, having been working in the death penalty area, on the administration of the death penalty. I certainly have my thoughts, and I know that I wanted to be a good enough citizen in this country not to ever have to go there.
Okay, Howard, thanks a lot. Hey, Howard, did you feel intimidated at all?
No, but I will say this. I wrestled a one-legged amputee in a wrestling mat, and it wasn't really a challenge from the standpoint of skill, because he was easy to beat. But the first thing he said when we walked out in front of the referee says, "I'm going to kill you." Didn't intimidate me, but, you know, he tried.
Okay, Howard. All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, I appreciate that call, Howard. For your questions, yes, they definitely have a very active program for athletics in San Quentin. Matter of fact, the San Francisco Giants generally will re-turf our field down below on the lower yard with their old turf. And we even call ourselves the San Quentin Giants. And we've had some real active baseball teams with inmates, and then a lot of different organizations come in to play baseball, and they have tennis courts, basketball, volleyball. So the sports is a real calming agent for the inmates and gives them something to do, and they take pride in themselves by playing the best they can. Now, when it comes to football, when I was a youngster in there, now football was there, but it got so rough, the teams didn't want to come back in because the inmates had nothing to lose, so they didn't care if they broke a leg. Now, about the death penalty, that's a really interesting question because you have to remember this is one man's opinion. When I first started at San Quentin, I was all for the death penalty. But right now, you have to analyze what's going on with our government. They just do not implement the death penalty any longer. And if you knew, as a taxpayer, what you have to contribute to a death row inmate compared to a lifer inmate, you wouldn't want the death penalty anymore. Anytime an attorney has a death row client, if he has five death row inmates on his docket, he is set for life because it's his job to prevent that man from being executed. And as you can tell, they are doing a very good job. They never work on guilt or innocence. They always work on who made a mistake and whether or not we can prolong this man's death, because every time he comes in to talk to his death row inmate, you as a taxpayer are paying $200 an hour. And so if he's seeing two or three inmates a day, you can really add up what he's earning, and that's coming right off the top as taxpayer money. But if he's a lifer, he has to pay for his own attorneys. He has to do his own work. We don't have to bring him his groceries. We don't have to give him single showers. The death row inmates right now, it's the biggest scam, and you get to live by yourself in your own cell. So right now, I could care whether or not the death penalty is ever implemented, other than the fact that when you read the files and what some of these guys have done, you wouldn't mind seeing them being executed because of their crime. But as a taxpayer, I say no.
You know, and it was interesting because I've argued with the Sarge about this, but I have to admit, after being at San Quentin, and I've thought about that, and unless you're going to have the death penalty that's done, unless it's executed, because the only people that die on death row die of
old age.
Or if illness or something like that, they don't die from an execution. And you told me, I mean, it costs, I don't know, how many hundreds of thousands a year per inmate, you know, just to keep them, you know, by paying for their lawyers and all the other things you have to do specifically for them. And if you threw them out in the yard,
they would be killed.
Well, that's the other way. So, executions are done.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got two people on the line here. I'm going to go to the second one first because I'm sorry about that, Bob. The reason I'm going to do that is Dave wants to talk about Charles,
do not hang up.
Yeah, don't hang up, Charles, because we're going to get to you right after Dave. Okay, Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great there. What's up?
Well, I was calling about Camp for Life.
Okay.
Camp for Life running this week. Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air right now, buddy.
Oh, okay. Camp for Life, it's a project that we have, MIAP and Walmart Heart Truck Drivers have for terminally ill children. We're out at Whiskey Town at the Need Camp. You go to the Whiskey Town Overlook and just go straight down. Just follow that road until it ends. Don't turn on the dam, and you'll come to Need Camp. You come up to the cafeteria there. You can join in with the fun, playing with the kids, we've got things going on with them, puzzles and different things happening. You're welcome to come out and help cook lunch or dinner and eat. Bring the family, have a good time, and just let the kids be kids. And, you know, Whiskey Creek Clear Creek is right there. You can get in the water and cool off.
It's a great place. It's a lot of fun. Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
How do people get a hold of you, Dave?
Well, you can call 945-1957 or 355-9595 for Fred. He'll be around today.
And then the camp will end Saturday, so we'll need to clean up and get out of there. But the kids have had a good time. It's been a good week, and I hope you guys have a great time. The 4th, we're going to, any tickets we have left over from the Colts game that we have, we're selling for half the proceeds to go to MIAP for Arlington. We'll go to veterans, so we'll get veterans out there to watch the game and
that's right.
And have a good time watching the fireworks, okay?
That's right. 4th of July, we're going to have a Marine color guard there. It's an honoring the veterans.
Sir.
And Linda's going to be singing the national anthem. So it's going to be a great night. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Have a good one.
All right,
bye.
See you soon. Okay, let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning. Charles, good morning. Are you still there? Hello, Charles. Charles?
Charles did not hold.
Charles. Call back, Charles. Okay.
Wait, try it now.
Charles, good morning. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh,
I heard you the whole time, but somebody pushed the mute button.
Oh, it must have been, me. Okay, Charles, sorry. Okay, hey, got a question then for Sarge?
Yes. Sarge, you mentioned something about limiting physical contact between visitor and inmate, but as far as... I was wondering about what thoughts you might have as far as plugging up some of these holes, as it were, to make the institution less insecure and prevent further New York-style incidents.
Okay. So what would you do, Sarge, to fix this? Thanks a lot, Charles.
Well, you have to remember, like I spoke a little while ago, Charles, we have people that work nonstop at preventing smuggling. But it's very difficult when you have 3,000 staff members that work inside an institution that are allowed to bring in lunch boxes, backpacks, any conceivable way you can hide contraband to come into the institution. They're going to figure out the best way to get it in.
Do they search the people that work there?
Absolutely not.
So, I mean, if I could bring in, a 10 pounds of heroin if I wanted to in a backpack, nobody'd know.
Now, they might ask you to open up your lunchbox, but it's just a simple little search to look in to see that everything looks
good. They're not looking into my thermos then.
Absolutely not.
We're going to take a quick break here because I've got a couple other questions, including, and that's a good one, including this one is from Dan. What has been the impact of this type of career on the Sarge? We'll talk about that when we get back. We'll be, Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. It's 8:46 in the morning. It's 80 degrees out there. It's probably a little bit warmer than that right now, going up to 105. We'll be right back.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Summer's on Us continues at Redding Kia, and with no payments for 3 months, you can afford to enjoy summer and drive a brand new Kia.
Kia Motors will make your first three payments for you, and you get 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2015 Kia Fortes, Optimas, and Sedonas.
No money down? No problem. Bring your trade in. Redding Kia strives to give you more for your trade than any other dealer.
Every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes. And Kia is now ranked number one in J.D. Power's 2015 initial quality survey. See dealer for details.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fees subject to prior sale. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for the special offer on approval to credit. Ends July 31st.
Redding Kia will close on July 4th to celebrate the holiday and will reopen on July 5th.
Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue, Redding, reddingkia.com.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape, and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
There's a lot of strange men in cell block 10, but the strangest of them all was a friend of mine who spent his time staring at the wall.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. 10 till 9 here on Thursday, the 2nd of July. Weather's going to be up to 105 today. It's going to be in the hundreds this weekend, down to 103, kind of a cooling wave. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Veteran-owned business at Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Yesterday, Bob told me I was a little... He says, you know what? He says, I think you might have been a little bit... emphatic when I was talking about my Sleep Number bed, when I said it was my constitutional right to sleep.
Your enthusiasm was palpable.
It was. You know what? You know, I was just tired of things that were going on. I just knew one thing for sure. When I got onto my Sleep Number bed and I put on my Sleep Number setting of 45, life was good again. And with the Sleep IQ technology, it says don't get so excited. Don't be looking at the news at night before you go to sleep. And right now, you can get a Sleep Number bed, which is, by the way, made in America, guaranteed, number one mattress in Consumer Reports. Right now, you can save $400 on the final closeout of a queen or king Sleep Number C4 mattress set. And the way you do that is you go over to the Target Shopping Center. You go in there, see Brian Janice or any of the professionals that are in there will help you find that Sleep Number bed that you want. I tell you what, you don't get any better than this. I've never slept better. Now, our guest is a former supervisory, he was a sergeant in San Quentin, in a supervisory position. He worked death row and other places in San Quentin. And on the chat room has got a question. What has been the impact of this type of career on you?
You know, I have to say that's one of the best questions that I've ever been given.
Bravo, Dan.
It's going to be kind of tough to answer that because I absolutely loved my job. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I love going to work. Every day was different, and you really run into some scenarios that make it challenging to do your job. It's just like anything. Once you've been there a while, you start getting better and better and better at it. You start cultivating snitches. You start knowing how things work. The inmates' political
hierarchy
in there, on how they deal with it, because they're informing you of what's going on as well. I worked very hard at plugging a hole for smuggling, but then just a few days later, they've already found a different avenue because I've already plugged the hole that they were working with last week. So you just have to keep constantly working at it. And the camaraderie I had with inmates was a positive one because I worked and I was firm but fair with them. So they would even actually come and tell me. They would say, Sarge, we've got something going on in the visiting room. We don't want our program interrupted by this new inmate. So you may want to watch his wife when she comes out of the bathroom a little bit more closely. Or you may want to check his hair when he leaves the visiting room, because we don't want our program stopped. Because you have to remember, some of these guys have manipulated women as far away as England to come all the way to the United States to visit either a death row inmate or a lifer. And if you were to freeze the institution because of a scenario that was going on in the visiting room, it's going to come to a stop, and this woman just came from England for her health.
Okay. Now, there are no cameras in San Quentin.
No.
Why?
Well, the first reason is they can be used for manipulation on how to figure out how to help an inmate escape. But also, the staff fights that because the staff members don't want anybody watching them do something wrong, whether it be smuggling or sleeping on the job.
Smacking an inmate?
Yeah. Or excessive use of force.
Yeah.
Because that's really monitored right now. Every time there was a major incident, or even a minor incident, when staff had to use force, you have to write an extensive use of force critique to make sure that the officer did not go above the standards that the department allows.
Now, you said there were officers that, you know, that from that were fired due to fraternization. You said you could usually tell by their walking, you know, you see them with the same inmate all the time. How many people a year do you lose to that?
In my entire career, 28 years at San Quentin, we lost one male correctional sergeant to overfamiliarity with an inmate, but then we usually lose about one female a year to overfamiliarity, whether it's a free staff person or a correctional staff.
Okay.
We've actually caught correctional officers in cells with men on death row, and they're instantly fired.
And they're not in there to hit them with clubs or anything like that?
No, they're not in there scrubbing the sinks.
All right. Is it tough for a woman guard in San Quentin?
I believe it would be. I mean, they're up against it because every inmate is going to try them. Every inmate's going to ask a question. When she gets off duty and she comes in the next day, she's going to be asked the same questions over and over again. It's just all how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
If you carry yourself with a demeanor that don't mess with me, the inmate's going to read that. But if you're in there and you're nervous and you're giddy and you're approachable and you talk, that's their opening.
There it is. You know, because I asked one of the guards that was there, I said, so what about the women that are here? He says, frankly, the ones that are question marks aren't here in a couple months. He says, they are removed because of just the situations there. And the ones that can handle themselves, you know, they can stay. But he says it's tough. It's tough for male guards, too. And that get this. But I was surprised at how many people started this career later in life. I say later in life, in their 30s.
Yeah, I started in my 30s, and it just all depends on how much grit you have. That's what kind of an officer you have. If you go in there that you're not going to tolerate foolishness, they're not going to keep asking you the same dumb questions or say, hey, we normally leave this gate unlocked. No, you just lock it. That gate's there for a reason.
So the impact on your life, huge.
It has been huge. I actually miss it. Most people don't, but I missed what I had cultivated over the years with the inmates. It was so interesting to find out what is going on behind the scenes with the inmates, and I was told about it. And you share that information with other officers, and that's how we discovered a huge smuggling ring with an officer that was bringing in huge amounts of drugs in potato chip bags. He was actually looking at the potato chips that the inmates could buy at their canteen. He was going outside, buying the same potato chips, opening up the bags, dumping the potato chips out, filling them back up with marijuana, sealing them back up, and then delivering them to the inmate. And if you don't think that that's degrading, is to walk down death row and smell pot. I mean, you just, they're...
Yeah, you know, and hear the phones ringing. Yeah, and it's and, you know, and then pizzas are being delivered. The next thing you know, pizzas are being delivered. All right. Hey, what's the biggest thing that, I mean, we talked about stamps. These are like letter stamps?
Oh, yes.
Is this what you're talking about? That's cash?
That's
got 2 minutes left here.
The biggest problem that we have is stamps. First of all, I want to tell you, you know how much heroin you can hide under a stamp?
Oh, probably enough to get you, you know.
Oh, it's a good buzz. But stamps are currency. And the way an inmate introduces you to becoming a smuggler is to say, is there any possible chance you can bring him in? Just give me a stamp or two. I can't write my family. Well, what harm could that possibly be? So the minute you give an inmate a stamp, he's got you.
He owns you then.
That's
huh?
the first step on your way up to smuggling in dope for him, because he's got you. And once he knows he's even got a witness that you have been giving him something, a cough drop, anything.
Anything.
That's why right. I don't understand why that institution in New York was allowing them to bring in hamburger. You cannot bring in nothing.
Yeah, these people are cooking in their cells or something.
Well,
I mean,
they all have
weird.
These little hot plates that you can buy that they can warm up their soup and they can warm up their Spam. But, you know, I don't know. It's not necessary. That's why the Food Service Department throws so much food away, is because they're cooking in their cells.
We're going to have Sarge back because we can talk a little bit more about San Quentin. I'll tell you, that trip I took just totally just – I mean, I could talk about that for years. We got to leave here, though. Thanks so much, Sarge, for being here with us.
Oh, it's my
not
pleasure.
Not the last time. Hey, everybody, remember, tonight at the Elements Lounge at Wind River, give them a call, 243-3377. We're going to have a great time tonight. Super menu. Linda's there with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds. We're going to have a great time. And tomorrow, come on down to Crown Motors and join us as we celebrate the 4th of July down there. World War II, Korean, Iraqi freedom, all veterans going to be with us. And we're having those who have entered our country legally, immigrants who have made a huge success here. All of this. Now remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. It's all good guys out here and here.
I agree.
Which ones are you?
No, I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Some tense moments this morning at the Washington Navy Yard.
An employee at the Navy Yard shortly after 7:29 reported that she may have heard gunshots in the facility.
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser says law enforcement raced to the scene, finding no evidence of gunshots, no evidence of a shooter. Today's false alarm, not a hoax or a threat, came 2 years after an attack at the Navy Yard that killed a dozen people. Thousands have been chased from their homes near Knoxville, Tennessee, after one car of a CSX freight train derailed. The car carried a flammable toxic gas.
There have been evacuations to up to a mile or more around the derailment.
Dean Fleener with Tennessee Emergency Management says people may be out of their homes for up to 48 hours in Blount County, eastern Tennessee. Also at srnnews.com.